We thank you for the promise of Scripture that you've taken us who were not your people and made us your people. You've called us to be a chosen people, a royal priesthood, called us to declare your praises and your glory and your honor. And Lord, we do that today. We proclaim that you are our God. You are our only God. You're our only Savior and Lord. Jesus, we bow and worship to you as the King. And Lord God, as we come to your word, we submit our hearts to your will and to your ways that you've written down for us. And God, I pray that you'd remove anything that gets in the way in our thoughts, our words, our attitudes, our actions, our distractions around us in the physical realm, that only we would hear your truth and see your truth. And God, I pray that somehow, even through my weakness as a human, that you would speak your righteousness, your truth, your word. And God, we come humbly before it, Lord, thanking you that you speak directly to us through it, and that you have a living relationship with us. It's not just words on a page. You are alive. And we proclaim your life among us today. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated this morning as the children are dismissed to junior church. I want to invite you to turn in your Bibles to 1 John. We didn't quite get through all the tests of true fellowship. How do we know that we're born again? And this week we want to talk about the Word Walk Part 2. And we want to focus on the last part of this section of Scripture. But I want to begin by reading in 1 John 2 again and read all the way down to verse 6 to catch us up to the context of what we're speaking about today. It says in 1 John chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, "My little children, I'm writing these things to you that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not only for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And by this we know that we've come to know him, if we keep his commandments. Whoever says, 'I know him,' but does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walks." I want to read that again. "Whoever says that he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walks." We're going to talk about the word walk today in more detail. And we're talking about walking, and I had to include one dad joke for Stephen here this morning. What do you call a fly with no wings? A walk. I don't know if you were a kid and tore the wings off the flies and watched them spin around, especially if you tear one wing. They end up having to walk. So that's for you, Steve. So we're talking about walking today. There are four tests that you can be sure that you are a believer. And we went through the first three tests last week and kind of just briefly talked about the last one. But if you know Jesus by keeping his commands is test number one. If you have truth inside of you by your lifestyle matching your profession of faith, that's number two. Number three, if you have God's love in you by keeping God's word and experiencing God's love, bringing us into maturity. And then what we're going to talk about and focus in on today is if you're in a relationship with Christ by being in union with him and walking as he did. So I want to talk about, first of all, the foundation as we launch into that to our relationship with Jesus Christ. It solely rests on his work on the cross. Jesus being our advocate, and that's why I read verses 1 and 2 again to remind you of that big word, propitiation, meaning Jesus died in our place as a substitute, turning away God's wrath so that he can justify us and we can be in relationship with him. This is the foundation of having a relationship with God. So because of his sacrifice, We can walk in fellowship with Him or in relationship with Him. We can learn to walk as He did by following His example. It is our union with Him that fuels our growth, for it is our union with Him that we experience His love and His Word. I want to say that again. It is our union or our relationship with Him that we experience His love, that we experience His Word. And so the Apostle John, as we look at him, remember, he was a lover of Jesus. He's the one leaning on Jesus. He likes to use the word love a lot throughout his epistles. But so notice some of his other favorite words throughout the epistles as well. Is that's the word know. That's the word abide, which we're going to focus in on today. That's the word keep. Keep God's word and walking. You're going to find those all throughout the book of 1 John. He loves those words. And we can be sure that we're a believer. Now, there's a lot of people that want to say that we can't be sure that we're really saved. And so that we're really saved. So we have to kind of work our way to God, or we have to make sure we get everything right, or we're not going to make it to heaven. Well, good news, it's not based on what we do. There was Martin Lloyd-Jones uses this example about a professor that says about a young man that's in school studying. He says, that boy knows what he knows. Now notice he didn't say that boy knows everything, but he was certain of the knowledge of that he's possessed. He had mastered it. So brothers and sisters in Christ, we can be sure and know that we know that we know. It doesn't mean we know everything. It doesn't mean we're not going to still make mistakes. But we can master what we know. And that is, he who believes on the Son has life, has eternal life. And then we go through the purposes of this, or the manifestation of that in our life, or the reasons for it. So knowing Jesus is more than just knowing the facts about Him. I mean, we can sit and memorize all the books of the Bible. We can memorize all the big words of doctrine like propitiation and justification and what they mean. And we can know what depravity means. And we can know that Jesus is fully God and fully man. But what he is saying here, that out of the doctrine flows something more. It is a personal acquaintance or an intimacy or an interest, as Martin Lloyd-Jones put it. Is Jesus really real to me? Am I experiencing him in my daily life? Is the word of God just letters on a page and something to get through in the morning? Or am I coming face to face and experiencing God in a powerful way? And so that is what we're going to hone in on today. So I want to just review. First of all, we had the knowledge test. Those that are doing the word walk can be sure that they know Jesus Christ because they obey his commandments. Or in other words, anything that Jesus teaches. And I just want to say and be very clear, just as we're struggling in our nation right now, and I think it's a beautiful thing to see a manifestation, a small manifestation of God's justice for the unborn. But sadly, there are many people that are claiming to be Christians that are having a problem with this. And we need to realize in the scripture as Christians, you cannot be a believer in Jesus Christ and go against the Ten Commandments. When he says you shall not murder or kill, you cannot be a Christian or a believer and support abortion. That's all there is to it. The Bible is so clear, and that's why he says, if anyone says that he has Christ but doesn't keep his commandments, he's a liar. There's a whole lot of liars in the American church today. And I find myself often, just in case I might get too judgmental here, in my heart not keeping the commands of God. Because my heart is prone to wander. And that's why we have communion. I have to always go back to the grace of Jesus Christ today. But if we love him, if we have a relationship with him, we will want to support and keep his commandments. We will love life. We will be people of life and people of freedom. We won't get freedom backwards and say, freedom is doing whatever I want, making a choice, and then wanting to make another choice to do something wrong to someone else. like murder a baby. That baby does not know. Then we have the truth test. Those that are doing the word can be sure that they have the truth in them. That means our lifestyle meshes, our profession of faith. Then we talked and left off on the love test last week. Those that are doing the word walk can be sure that they have the love of God in them by keeping God's word or treasuring it in their heart. There is no such thing as someone that is a true believer that does not treasure God's word written in its entirety. And folks, we need to proclaim that more and more now, because there is such a disrespect and disregard for God's word, for his truth. And right now in our country, we're adopting this idea of moral relativism, where there is no truth. And so people are so absolutely sure that there is no truth, and they contradict themselves by making that their moral truth and guideline. God has given us his word, and folks, his word washes us, it cleanses. I thank him for his word, and as we've talked in the past, it is his word that brings to completion or perfection in our life when we experience the love of God for real. In other words, we realize that if it, apart from a special work of grace through Jesus' death on the cross, that I could not be saved, that my sins could not be washed away. If I do not understand that, I will never have a life that conforms or that matures in my walk with God. And as we talked about last week, remember years ago, we put dear brother Steve, who I picked on this morning, in diapers, and everybody laughed and it looked so ridiculous. But I want to ask you, are you a Christian that's still in diapers when you should be kind of getting in your jumpsuit now and some knickers? I'll do this for Terry. Get your knickers on. Yes. Get them out of the garage. Garage. There we go. You know, I have to work on that. I'm not an impressionist or anything like that. But his love perfects us. The more we are consumed with the love of Jesus Christ, we become more mature. So Jesus said in John 14, whoever has my commandments and keeps them, it's he that loves me. We can't worship God. There's people all across the nation worshiping God and singing songs, or even songs like Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me, or saying I love you, Lord, and things like that. We can't love him if we're not obeying his commandments. There's just no such thing as that. You know, the same thing with my relationship with my wife. If I'm not honoring her and respecting her, I can say I love you all day long until I'm blue in the face. It means nothing. So Jesus said that. So when he talks about God's love, I'm just doing a review here today, is perfected. It means that we love God and the love he gives us. It's the love he gives us, and it brings us to maturity. And it means we begin to obey God, not because we have to, but because we want to. And I think that is a huge shift of why the church has gone so far the other way, is because we've adopted this guilt-minded Christianity, and you have to do this, you have to hold your Bible a certain way, you have to dress a certain way, you have to look a certain way, don't do this and don't do that. And so our Christianity has literally become drudgery. But if we have a love relationship with Jesus Christ, if we realize the depth and the gravity and the verity of the truth of his death, burial, and resurrection in our life, it causes us to want, Lord, I want to keep your commandments. It's kind of like a guy that was drowning and dead on the bottom of the ocean, and God dives down and brings you to life. It is gratitude that leads us to that. So now we're going to talk about the walk, the actual walking out. And you might have tried, like many other Christians, all the fitness fads. But the doctor was right all along. Walking is still the best exercise. We could try any program in the church and still not be effective. We can maybe grow the church in numbers and still not be effective if we're not walking out what God says in his word. And some of us take this attitude as Christians as well. I name my dog 5 miles so I can tell people I walk 5 miles every day. Right? Just went to the curb and back. You know, it's like what Mark Lowry used to say, and this is what I did when I was in college. When it came time, I was in the Word this morning. I named my bed the Word. I visited Pillow Creek Community Church this morning. In other words, I slept in and overslept and failed to go there. Folks, we become excellent as American Christians in coming up with sayings like this to make excuses for not having the real thing in our lives. So I want to talk about the last test, and that's the relationship test. And those that are doing the word walk can be sure that they are in Christ. And turning our attention to the end of verse 5, he says, "By this we may know that we are in him." He's talking about knowing for sure. Now keep in mind, he's addressing the issue of Gnosticism, and these Gnostic people believed basically that they had a special knowledge that they would get if they were lucky, if they were the blessed ones, right? And only they knew the spiritual truth. And so there were some people that were left behind that didn't have any hope here. But he says, no, we can know. And let me tell you, furthermore, it's not based on your experience or sensation like, I feel Jesus. You might be feeling something that you ate the night before, and it's not Jesus. You might be feeling something else that you're thinking about or excited about. So he gives us an exact thing here that we ought to walk in the same way Jesus walked. So I want to talk about this word abiding first here this morning. Now, abide means to remain, to reference in a place, to sojourn, to tarry, not to depart, to continue to be present. It is a reference to time. It is to endure. It is to survive. It is a condition we're in. It is to wait. So there's all kinds of things that we can take out of that. If we're abiding in Jesus Christ, we're waiting on him. We're not rushing ahead. If we're abiding in Jesus Christ, we're lingering around. And so many of us in Christian church today is like, we're watching our watches. When is this worship going to be done? When is the sermon going to be done? Or when is my devotions going to be done? But those that are abiding in Christ linger and enjoy. It's like Joshua was in the tent of meeting in the Old Testament. He met with God and he didn't want to leave there. There's a change that happens by those that are truly gripped by the grace of God. They don't want to leave. They don't want to leave. They survive in the presence of God, and they realize they can't survive outside of that abiding, as we're going to see in a moment, because John also wrote in John chapter 15 in more detail about this. But when you look at the word abide, it's a place or a dwelling. Is your place with God, and are you spending time with him? Now, how many of you are the kind of people that leave your dishes out overnight? After you've eaten, you leave the plates. How many leave them over a week? I see fingers pointing, but hands sheepishly kind of going up like that. What happens when you leave your dish out? When you had that good steak and you had the cheese dip and all that kind of stuff, and that stuff's glued on there. The only way to get it off is to put it in the soap and let it soak overnight. You know what? What makes us think that it's any different in our relationship with God? Jesus says, apart from me, you can't do anything. Our relationship with God, we have to soak in this word. We have to allow the soap of God's word to wash us and make us clean. It's not just looking at it and going away. That's not going to get your dish clean. That's not going to produce any change in your life. We have to soak in it. And I like this. I want to ask you today, are you a dipper? Not the big dipper, but are you a dipper or are you a soaker? Now, there are some people that get very finicky when it comes to tea. My wife is a tea drinker, and she gets me into drinking it sometimes. But so there's a little spot of tea. And so she gets it out and it soaks. But you know what? I like mine really, really strong. I mean, there's these all of these concoctions in her drawers of different herbs and mint. And there's one that I take at night. We put it all together. And I've gone and drinking it. She says, it's not ready yet. Well, of course it's not ready because I did not let it steep. Some of us are dippers. We don't like our tea strong. We kind of get our foot in the Word of God and then we step back out of it again. Or we kind of talk to Jesus, but then we're away from Him for weeks on end. I want to encourage you to become that tea bag that sits and soaks in the presence of God, and then your water is going to start to change, folks. And if you want to talk about having strong tea, the more we spend time in the presence of the Lord and abiding in our relationship with Him, the stronger that we become, just like that tea becomes stronger. So some of us are dippers. It's time to become a soaker. Because you might as well drink muddy water if you're going to sit. You know, that's one thing I hate even about lemonade and things like that. Let's just put a lemon in the water. That's not enough for me. Or those of you that like tea, let's just put a little spot of sweetener in it. If you like your sweet tea, you want to dump the whole thing of sugar, which I wouldn't recommend that. But which is why some of us have health issues and things like. Oh, anyways, that's another sermon for another day. But folks, we like it strong. When Jesus, we spend time soaking in His presence. Don't be a dipper, be a soaker. So this relationship test not only talks about abiding. He doesn't say that we may know whoever says he abides in them. And then he says ought to walk. And that word ought means to owe. Or in other words, it's the nature of what's considered. So basically, if we want to know and if we are abiding in Him, this is going to be the result. That we are going to walk it out in our lives. And so let's talk about that word walk for a moment. It means to make your way. It means to progress, to make due use of the opportunities. And literally in the Hebrew, it means to live. Now, I'm not going to ask you to point any fingers, but we've met those people that say, wow, they really live life to the fullest. Have you ever said that about somebody? And I've seen that in some believers who have soaked and spent time with Jesus Christ. They're filled with the love of God. They're filled with the joy of God. They're filled with the Word of God, with the truth of God. And they walk it out. They really live. And this is why Jesus says you will have life and you have it more abundantly. Folks, this is what we've missed out on that people of old have discovered, like back in Spurgeon's day, the abundant life. What your great-grandparents probably experience, because it is not about politics. It's not about things. It's not about accumulating as much as you can. It's not about sitting in front of a screen or in front of the iPad or in front of the iPhone. It is about sitting in front of Jesus. That is to live. Now, here's the thing. John didn't say you're going to know by having a fuzzy feeling or an experience. The Gnostics would say that. They believed you knew that you were saved based on that special experience that you had. And I've had people say to me before, Pastor Mike, if you would just experience what I've experienced, you'll be able to interpret the Word of God in the way that I do. And really what they did is they've taken thousands of years of biblical interpretation and twisted it to take out certain aspects and character and attributes of God. But folks, some of us might be discouraged too, because we look at brother so-and-so and think, wow, they had a huge experience. They got saved and their leg grew back and they were healed. And how come that didn't happen to me? How do I know I'm really saved? I wasn't drunk, laying flat out on the ground, and then a big light shone, and I got up just like some people. And that can be discouraging, but the good news that John said, the one that leaned on Jesus, is not by experience. He says it's by our walk. Does that say that we know we're believers based on our experience, but based on how we're living our lives. This is a real, tangible test that demonstrates whether we've experienced Christ or not. I love this quote by Martin Lloyd-Jones, who was a pastor, a preacher. He says, how interesting it is that John, who by many, he was explaining that a lot of scholars and people would always say that, describe him as a mystic, is the man who tells us that the way to test ourselves is not to seek for some mystical experience, but to examine our conduct and our lives. If we keep his commandments, nothing less than that. It is not experience that enables us to say that we know him. It is not feelings, not sensations, not vision, not amazing answers to prayer, not thrills, nor the unusual. But are we walking as Jesus walked? That's it. Now, Martin Lloyd-Jones goes on to say, you know, not to discount experience, because the Christian life is full of experience. If we're not experiencing God in a powerful way, but that's not the starting point, that's the ending point. The starting point is if I walking in obedience to His Word, and as I walk that out, I will experience Christ in the way that He wants me to experience Him. So I want to make progress in my walk with God. And do you notice in that word, make use of the opportunities that Jesus provides? When we talk about walking out our Christian life, what opportunities we have. Folks, we have endless opportunities. You can get online to the Gospel Coalition, and there are Bible studies galore that you can study. The Daily Bread, you get on the Daily Bread. They have Bible studies and Bible classes and courses that are for free. There is an endless amount. You can get the ESV Study Bible and just read it and read the notes. There is an endless amount of opportunities that God provides for us to know Him and then to regulate our life according to His Word. And to live in that state that He meant us to live in by the righteousness He's given us in the cross. So now I want to invite you to turn in your Bibles to John chapter 15, if you would please. I want to read this because this is John really honing in on this word, abiding and walking, and what it looks like to walk in our Christian walk. He says in John 15, I am the true vine, and my Father is the wine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes, so that it may bear more fruit. Already you're clean because the word that I've spoken to you, abide in me and I in you. As the branch, there's John's favorite word, abide. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do many things. Come on. I need to hear everybody. Nothing. There we go. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Love and keeping God's commandments go hand in hand. Do you see that there? Just as I have kept my Father's commandments, abide in His love. These things I've spoken to you, what? That my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. Jesus Christ, first of all, is the source of our relationship with Him. He is the vine. It's kind of like your phone battery dying. And you're sitting there talking on the phone and all of a sudden it just goes dead. And then you have to get the cord. You have to plug it into the source. And then that battery slowly begins to recharge. Jesus Christ is of our life source. If we wonder why the fruit, our grapes are not very big, could it be that we have not been abiding in the vine? In other words, it doesn't mean that we're losing our salvation, but we're not keeping our relationship with Him. We're saying, see you later, Jesus. And then he talks about this bearing fruit thing and about being clean and about being dependent on Jesus to bear fruit. How many in here like sunflowers? Do you know why sunflower is called a sunflower? Because they follow the sun. The little heads of the sunflowers follow the sun from morning till night, which is why they produce a lot of seeds. Folks, it is the same thing for those of us. He says, if we abide in Him, we'll bear much fruit. If we're connected with Jesus in relationship, we'll bear much fruit. And we're not talking about the fruit of the world or the success of the world. We're not talking about what man breeds and calls successful. We're talking about being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. We're talking about people who are truly grounded in truth. We're talking about people that are truly happy from the inside out. And have a tool to beat depression with because of their walk and their connection with Jesus, even though they're going through difficult and hard times, and there may be weeping and there may be pain, there may be sorrow, but they are connected to the Son of God. This relationship, notice, is a living thing. He's the vine and we're the branches. It's a living plant. It's not mechanical. Galatians 2:20 says, I've been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who what? Loved me and gave Himself for me. There's that word, love again. Love is the motivation of all of this relationship, but my life is Jesus Christ. I die to self. And so I want to ask you today, are you walking with God? Just ask yourself that question for a moment. Think about that. Are you walking with God? In other words, are you walking in step with Him? Are you dwelling in His presence? Or are you basically what they call a practical deist, which was what a lot of our country's founders were, deists. They believed God set the world into motion and they just let it go. And so that, like Thomas Jefferson wrote his own Bible and took out all the references of miracles in the Bible and all of that, and just to take God out of the miraculous out. And so everything becomes natural. So we as Christians often live like that. We live like, oh yeah, I believe in God, but He doesn't exist to me, maybe only in church when I'm singing on Sunday morning. It's what you call a practical deist. Someone who that. But you look in Genesis 5:24, you don't have to turn there now, but Enoch, it says, walked with God. In later in Genesis chapter 6, it says Noah walked with God. Abraham in Genesis 17 was commanded to walk before God. And again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I'm the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. We wonder why people just can't get it. And I read a verse the other day in Proverbs where it says, do not correct the scoffers because they will injure you or heap on rebuke. So, well, the discussion is, how can we stand strong in the Lord and speak truth without engaging the scoffers? I wouldn't recommend that you would go to these protests and things like that where people are screaming, and my body, my rights, and try to convince them. They're unconvincible because they're scoffers. They're wicked, and God hates what they believe. But the whole point is if we're walking with God, we have the light of life. And that doesn't mean we can't get involved in those people's lives in a personal relationship. That doesn't mean we can't proclaim truth when God gives us a platform and the ability to do that. But our job is not to go and just morally correct people. Our job is to speak the gospel and live the gospel of Jesus Christ. Ephesians 5 says, for at one time you were darkness, but now you're light, and the Lord walk as children of the light. This is the biggest thing. This is the biggest testimony that we can give to scoffers that are yelling on the street if we would practice what we believe. God, help me. Help us to walk as children of the light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true, and discern what is pleasing to the Lord. This walk thing is a continuous thing here, folks. One little puppy says, are you kidding me? How many times a day do you need me to walk you? Folks, if what we read in John is true, apart from me, you can do nothing. We need to be walking with him 24/7. You know, we kind of have this idea that, well, if I'm deep in Bible study or I'm in deep in prayer, but you know what? Learning to foster and cultivate the recognition that God is with you at all times, at every moment, will change your life. You might be driving down the road and you just include God in your conversation and your thoughts. You might be doing so the dishes and giving glory to God in the midst of that. You might be doing something on the assembly line or teaching at school, and God will just drop a thought and you can tell him thank you or say praise you, God. I love you, Jesus. Include him in every aspect of our lives. That is what transforms the world, is when Jesus is real to us and we recognize him because he is there, folks. Why are we acting like he's not? Why do I? It's because the sin in this old world, by the grace of Jesus Christ, we can grow in our relationship with him. And so I want to ask you this aspect of, are you the disciple or his disciple? In John 21 is when Jesus reinstated Peter. This is a really awesome passage. John 21, verse 20 to 22. I encourage you to study it sometimes. Peter comes and Jesus says, if you love me, you'll feed my sheep. And then he repeats it three times. And that was Jesus restoring Peter after he denied him three times. And so Peter looked over to John, the apostle, the lover of Jesus. And this is what he did. And this is what we do. This is why we fail to get involved in discipleship ourselves, is because we're always worried about what everybody else is doing. Well, he said this and this is wrong, and they did this and that's wrong, and that sort of thing. But if we focus on our own discipleship, and this is what Peter did. He turned and saw the disciple, and this is after Jesus told Peter he was going to die a martyr's death. So Peter looked at John, and whom Jesus loved following him, the one who had leaned back against him during the supper, and he had said, Lord, whose of this is going to betray you? And then Peter saw him. He said to Jesus, Lord, what about this man? Jesus said to him, if it is my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you? You follow me. Oh, I was hit hard with that. And I hope you are too. He's saying to Peter, don't worry about John. I have a different ministry for him than I have for you. But focus on following me. Folks, the more we focus on following Jesus Christ, and the less we're concerned about what they do and what they say, what they do and what they say will change because they see my life is changing. And I did this just for Kathy today. Keep walking. This doesn't concern you. Folks, got to keep walking. Don't worry about what John is doing. Don't worry about what Peter is doing. Keep walking. Don't worry about what's happening in society right now or how wicked and evil it is. Keep walking. Don't worry about if you fell down and had a tragic experience in your life. Get up and keep walking. Because it is abiding in the vine that is the essence of our life and the joy of our life. And James Boyce, I love the pastor James Boyce, who's since passed away, how he implies discipleship with three different things. One, it's personal. It's between you and Jesus. And that's what Jesus was telling Peter. Don't worry about him. Follow me. Not only that, it's active in what we've talked about in our text today. And last of all, it's costly. Jesus walked the path of crucifixion before he walked the path of glory. In 1 Peter, it says, what credit is it if you sin and are beaten for it and you endure? But if you do good for suffering for it, you endure. This is a gracious thing in the sight of God. For this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, to leave you an example, so that you might follow in his steps. It's a powerful passage of Scripture, and some people think that If we follow Jesus, we have to be hard and arrogant and prideful people. However, if we're to walk as Jesus walked, and if you never got to read the book In His Steps by Charles Sheldon, this was a book about where we got those bracelets. What would Jesus do? And that's kind of theologically incorrect. What would Jesus do? But it's what did Jesus do? Or who is Jesus? And this guy preached a sermon in this church, and after a guy in clothes and rags walked in, and some people got all snooty about it. Some people ignored him. Some people turned the other way because he smelled. And so then he preached this passage about following in Jesus' step, to follow his example, and then begins the story of a transformation of a whole town, because people didn't do anything without saying, "What would Jesus do?" He left us this example, and we have to pay close attention, which means we have to be in the Word. But he didn't call us to be hard. He didn't call us to be mean-spirited or get one up on people or yell louder than the people yelling at that are protesting in front of the courthouse. But he says, "All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father. And no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." And then he says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am what? I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Remember when we said before about those people, they said, man, they have the life of God in them. When you're around them, you just feel at peace and at rest. It's because they got there by spending time with Jesus. He rubs off on you when you spend time with him. If he's gentle and lowly of heart, we'll find rest for our souls. If he speaks the truth clearly, we'll speak the truth clearly. Are you a place of rest for people, or do people get all worked up because we haven't allowed the Holy Spirit to temper our being and make us gentle people and humble in our hearts? So we have this knowledge test to know for sure. We have the truth test, the love test, and the relationship test. And we treasure God's Word. But I want to ask you, do you pass through the Son or hang out with the Son? And I want to close with this today. As a society, we become wimps, right? I'm number one for it. My air conditioner goes out for a little bit of time, and I'm whining and complaining, and I'm right on my wife again. Let's get one of those pools, and we're not going to get a pool. But what do we do as Americans? We got so used to air conditioning, right? What did our great-grandparents do, or great-great-great-grandparents do without air conditioning, right? How did they live? How could they survive? We think that we're going to die in the heat, and so we just pass through the heat. We go from an air conditioning church building, and today you'll get out there, "Oh, my car is hot," and you'll crank the AC on, and then you'll drive into your garage and go into your air conditioning house. And that's what you call passing through the heat of the sun. And we do that with our relationship with the S-O-N, sun, as well. A lot of people do that with the S-O-N, and when you hang out in the sun, you're going to sweat. And you're going to sweat the things of the Scripture that we read today, because if you hang out with the Son, Jesus Christ, you're going to sweat His commandments. You're going to sweat pleasing Him. You're going to sweat His Word, because you can't hang in His presence without it rubbing off on you. And so I want to ask you, are you walking the walk? Are you picking up the habits of Jesus? And are you getting your direction from Him? Is Jesus' influence in your life right now? Or are you just passing through on Sunday morning? And that's all that you expose yourself to Jesus. Or you might say a short prayer at dinner and thank you, God, for this food. Amen. Or, "Lord, you're neat. Let's eat." And that's it. Right? God is important. You know, and I have to say this about my wife. There's sometimes when I say, well, I want to pray for dinner, or I don't want to pray today, could you pray? When she prays, she has probably a stronger walk with God than I might have, and she prays. And I'm looking down at my food, and that steak is sitting in front of me, and she keeps praying. It's because that's what's important to her. So now my prayers hopefully are getting a little bit more long-winded as well, because Jesus is way more important than the food that I'm going to eat. Thanking Him, being in His presence, He is our life. So don't pass through the sun, hang out in the sun. You'll sweat the life of God, the Word of God, the commandments of God. So I want to invite the worship team to come. Let's pray this morning. Thank you for your time in the Word of God. Father, we thank you for this text of Scripture. And Lord, as I studied it, as I read it as a human, my heart is just so grieved, not because I feel guilty, because I got to do more, but because of what I miss out on. You said our joy could be complete. You said if we abide in you, we will have true success and bear fruit as what you measure success as. So, Lord, we know that your word is truth and our emotions are not. So would you come and invade my heart and invade the hearts of my brothers and sisters, that we would endeavor to walk as you walk, Lord Jesus. We want to be filled with the aroma of Jesus Christ. We want you to rub off on us. Is what you saved us for. You saved us for life. And Lord, I pray that you fill us with the power of your Spirit today. And that you change us from the inside out. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Just stand with us as we...